It does.
And so this whole separation of orthodoxy and orthopraxy, being a child of God positionally mm-hmm. and not acting like one, it mm-hmm. just doesn't seem like it makes any sense.
Well, that's the message over and over from Paul. It's I mean, just beating a drum, the indicative defines the imperative. Yeah. This is what you are, now be it.
Okay, you walk into a church that's got their doctrine down straight. I mean, they've got all 687 propositions down straight. Mm-hmm. Check them all off. Mm-hmm. You find out the teenage rebellion is through the ceiling. Mm-hmm. There is not much honor of parents in that congregation. Mm-hmm. There's not many fathers who have the passion to open the Word of God each day and disciple their kids, mm-hmm. a la Deuteronomy 6-7. Mm-hmm. They've got 1.2 kids per family. I mean, the birth rate's just imploding big time, this congregation. What's your assessment? What's going on here? Is this a blessed church? I mean, got a few propositions down. Do they really have them down?
Yeah, that's where I would go. I would say, you know, you think you know it, but you don't. Mm-hmm. And because they're so intimately connected together, just as you said, if you really understood what it means that you as a sinner have been made a child of God, that's not far less. How does that help you relate to the irritating guy in the church? How does that not make you open up your Bible and talk to your kids about what God says?
Yeah, right.
How does that not make you overflowing with love and joy? This is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Then when the Spirit is there, this is the fruit that shows forth, not the list of the propositions. Again, don't get rid of them. Mm-hmm. Go into them. Believe them. It's going back to where we started. I don't have a new message.
You go deeper into them.
Yeah.
Your problem is you're too shallow in your embracing.
And by deeper, we don't mean more technical nuances.
Right.
We mean having the heart and the courage to believe. We talked about a particular issue in class today, and I said that the Bible is so abundantly clear on this issue.
Birth control. In fact, let's go there. Okay. I want to go there. I think that's a great example.
Well,
birth control came up
in
your college classroom today.
Right.
And you know, there's a lot of churches out there that would not appreciate what you said.
Sure.
Why?
Well, I think because of guilt, ultimately. There's this perspective, and I don't know if you were hitting there for this part of the conversation, but there's this perspective that says, if you can't show me a thou shalt not, then anytime, then it's free, it's fair game.
Right, exactly.
And so
birth control in the Bible, look it up in the concordance, it's not there.
That's right.
Okay, and they go, so it's okay.
And so it's okay. The question
methamphetamines.
Right.
Not there.
There you go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah, I think any amphetamines are bad for you.
Yeah.
But the question came, you know, do you think it's a sin? And I said, I just don't like to answer the question that way.
Yes. Right.
I think it betrays a bad perspective. I know that the Bible says children are a blessing. I know that God says he opens and closes the womb. Now, this is so clear, I said. Someone said, I want to be the devil's advocate and said, what about...
I'm not ready.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
I'm not ready. We got married, you know, just not ready yet, which means we don't have a bottom line income of $48,000
a year. Whether it's money or maturity, I said, well, here's how you get ready. You do it anyway.
Yeah. Was I ready when I had Daniel?
Right.
We weren't ready.
It was Daniel.
The grace of God that got us this far.
But I said, this is so clear and so straightforward and so unnuanced that I'm fully persuaded that the issue has nothing to do with the mind and everything to do with the heart. Will you trust God? That is the question. And that's why you get pushback.
These people come back and they say, but show me the chapter and verse. They're back in the mind.
Right.
And they say, show me the chapter and verse. You know, old man, not good enough.
No, I agree.
Not good enough. Not going to work because there's an explanation for old man.
Whole other stuff
holding back from having a kid for his brother.
Right.
And that's why they say, it says God killed him. He did not raise up seed for his brother. But God does say in Psalm 127 something very clear. He says these children are a gift from the Lord.
Right. And again, the perspective should not therefore be, God will be angry at me if I avail myself of this technology. The perspective is, my Father in heaven loves me and he wants to give me a gift. And who am I to say, no thank you, Lord?
Yeah, don't want your gift.
Yep.
Just keep it.
Yep.
Just keep it, God. Don't really want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any situation which a person might use birth control. Now, see, I bring up the example of 1 Corinthians 7. So yeah, there's a clear
that's
example.
One.
Prayer and fasting.
Yep.
Maybe you've got a problem
yep.
in your relationship. Maybe your wife has a health problem.
Yep.
And maybe you should have prayer and fasting for a while. For what? So you can have more gifts
right.
and more blessings
that's
from
exactly.
God. Because right now, apparently you can't
right.
because your wife is sick in bed.
Right. That's how I would put it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what the Bible says. And that's one of the reasons why I feel comfortable. I don't like people getting upset at me. I don't like being accused of being a legalist. My perspective is a joy perspective. And so when I get that shackled, I bristle against it. But that said, like you, we can only say what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say children are a blessing. God did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say the only reason you abstain is for a season of prayer and fasting. God did. You know, I didn't say God opens and closes the womb. God did. And so one of the great blessings of, again, the Reformation is we only have one book we're allowed to preach.
Yeah. R.C., I mean, you can imagine somebody in the church who has one child. They're using birth control half for 25 years because his wife keeps getting the sniffles. You know, mm-hmm. she's kind of sick. She gets the sniffles like twice a year, like
right.
the rest of us do. And or emotionally, it'd just be too trying. You know, you've got lots and lots and lots of reasons for not having a child. How would you counsel somebody like that? I mean, what would you say? It's because, again, it's not just a head issue. You've got to
right.
go to a heart.
Yeah.
What's the problem with this man?
I don't have to counsel that person. I have to counsel myself because despite God having blessed us with 8 children, there have been moments in our lives where I thought, I just don't know how we can do this. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how we're going to deal with this. You know, we were getting ready. We were scheduled to pick up our 8th child when my wife was diagnosed with cancer in her back.
Wow.
Now it was treatable,
mm-hmm.
and we were going to be able to deal with it. But at the same time, I'm thinking this is
you're taking a couple big breaths
yeah.
here and saying I'm not sure
right.
I'm going to make it across this Red Sea.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to have to raise
exactly.
the hands. We've got to
yes.
see some Red Sea parting here.
And the answer
and,
is who knows?
And you know what? Our
God knows.
I think that's the way it is with every child anyway.
Right.
Because you know I've said this before. I think every time a woman has a child, I think she would rather jump out of a plane,
right?
Because it's far less risky
mm-hmm.
in terms of losing her life or suffering. You know, some
mm-hmm.
people say you ought to allow for an abortion in the case of the health of the mother. Well, that would be every single pregnancy
right.
because every single pregnancy is an assault on the health of the mother, more or less.
Right.
So you know, when it comes to having children, it takes a great amount of faith. In
yes.
fact, I think this is what Paul means when he says you're saved by
childbearing,
1 Timothy 2. I mean, the just will live by faith and they will have children by faith, and it's not easy.
Well, it's the at the end of the day, it's one of the great blessings of this position is it enables us to say, Lord, I don't know, but I know you do.
Yeah.
And that isn't just good for answering this question. It's good training for all of our spiritual lives. Where I don't know what's going to happen, but you do. That's where we are even now. We know that we're pretty confident our family's not going to grow any bigger.
Mm.
But we're still in a situation where that's what we have to say every day.
Yeah. Well, it's a matter of applying the Word of God to the head and to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thrust of the program today. The Word of God is sufficient, but if you want to weasel out of any part of it, probably find some way to weasel out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word of God.
You won't fool God.
Yeah, you won't fool God.
Fool yourself. You're a fool. You're easy to fool.
God knows the heart.
Yes.
God knows the hearts.
Yeah.
And so if you're weaseling out of it, God knows exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of us just taking that word and applying it to every area of life. And I think that's what you're trying to do here with these young folks. And what's the goal? I mean, as you look out at these young people in this group, I mean, there's 16 or 17 in that classroom.
Mm-hmm.
What is your desire, your heart's desire for them in the next 10, 15 years of their
lives? It's not at all complicated, Kevin. I would love for them to be living faithful, obedient, godly lives, raising godly children, being faithful to their spouses, serving in their churches. I'm not interested in trying to create the next R.C. Sproul. I'm not interested in trying to create the next Mark Driscoll. I'm not interested in trying to create the next John MacArthur. I'm interested
or Patrick Henry or
yeah,
George Washington
right.
or
yeah.
right.
Or yes, I'm interested in raising up
mm-hmm.
and helping to help these people grow in grace and wisdom to be faithful servants of our King.
Mm-hmm. And we do that by building godly families and churches.
Amen.
That's how it happens. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Reformation Bible College, that's where we are here, out in Orlando, Florida. And R.C. Sproul Jr. has been with us today on the Generations Radio broadcast. If you're interested at all in the college or any of the ministries out here, R.C., what's the website? What's the
Ligonier.org. L-I-G-O-N-I-E-R.org.
Okay, Ligonier.org. That's where you go for all these terrific ministries. And R.C., let me say one more thing. You are standing on the shoulders of your father. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, your father has raised up a tremendous ministry, has done wonderful work for many, many years. And how's it feel being up there 5.5 feet off the ground?
Well, it's I just hope that I'm able to communicate a tenth of what he knows and what he's communicated. I have told him that there are a couple times where we disagreed on things. And I said to him once, I said, you know, everything I've ever taught, right or wrong, I've taught because I believed it necessarily follows from what you taught me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I am on my father's shoulders as well. He was writing books in the 70s. And hey, I'm about the 99% that I've learned from my father. And I've learned a few other things since then. But if it wasn't for my father, I would not have this radio program. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the ministry I have. I wouldn't have the family I have. If it wasn't for my father and the wonderful raising he gave me in the 60s and 70s. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. If you'd like to hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, you just go to kevinswanson.com. And as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.